Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. And now, as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, we pray that you will enlighten us with your Spirit. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. Have us learn what you would have us hear. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. This is a long reading, but it's one of those stories that you can never hear often enough. This is the story of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Well, in this season of Lent, it is important that we take a moment from time to time to reflect on the person of Jesus Christ, what he did and what he accomplished in the face of great cultural barriers of his time. He has taught us to look beyond our cultural boundaries and to engage with him through the power of the Holy Spirit, however and wherever that may lead us in bringing about God's kingdom here on earth. In our very long gospel reading today, Jesus talks more to this one woman at the well than with any other individual conversation he has throughout the New Testament. John wants us to understand through the writing of his gospel that Jesus' disciples are astonished by Jesus' actions because they are so countercultural. The implication is that if we read John correctly, we too will be astonished and we will be enlightened by what Jesus teaches us. This story of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at the well is a story full of surprises. The best surprise of them all, perhaps, is the story is that the story has room for us. We become a part of this story. Let's consider this series of surprises that occur. The first surprise is that the conversation happens at all. The barriers are so great. Jesus is a Jew, and the woman is a Samaritan. Between Samaritan and Jew, there is a wall of separation no less than what in our time separates the Israeli from the Palestinian. And the Jews and the Samaritans are related peoples. Both are Hebrews. The Samaritans are from the old northern kingdom of Israel, while the Jews are from the old southern kingdom of Judah. And to make a long story short, the Samaritans intermarried with non-Jewish people and lost much of their ethnic identity, while the Jews maintained theirs. Each group ended up with their own temple, the Samaritans on Mount Gerizim and the Jews on Mount Zion. And so is a strange choice that Jesus makes to travel through Samaria. That he strikes up a conversation with a Samaritan is even stranger. There is something additional that makes this conversation beside the well a surprise. In that place and time, men and women are not to talk to one another in public. It is not considered proper. And especially this is so when the man is, like Jesus, a rabbi or a teacher or someone who is looked up to as an example of propriety. And thus the disciples, when they return, are astonished that Jesus is speaking with a woman. Still more must be said about this surprising encounter. The Samaritan woman is also someone who is rejected by her own people. She comes to the well to draw water at noon, and she comes alone. Noon is the hottest time of the day. Morning and evening are times to do the hard work of drawing water from the well and hauling it home. This is work that women do in company with others. It is a chance for some social contact. But this woman goes to the well at a time when she will be alone. She sees herself as an outcast. She avoids others in order not to be hurt yet again by their words, by their attitudes, and by their sneers. It is a surprise, therefore, that this conversation even happens. But the conversation itself contains more than one surprise. First of all, it's a surprise that Jesus promises living water. Living water is water that flows, that runs, that sparkles. Such water is a welcome change from water in wells or cisterns. But Jesus and the woman meet beside an ancient well that's more than 100 feet deep and 7 feet wide. At first, the woman presumes that Jesus is talking about some hidden stream that he knows about that is far better than this well. But what Jesus promises is a source of life in her heart so that she can truly live. She is confused about what he offers, yet she understands it is something that she needs, and she needs it desperately. It's a surprise that Jesus knows the details of this stranger's life. Those details remain unclear to us, but it's apparent that she's had a painful and unhappy life. She's had 5 husbands. Did the marriages end through death or divorce or desertion? We don't know. Why is her current husband not truly her husband? We don't have answers to these questions, and perhaps we do not need to have the answers. And yet we recognize that this woman feels alone and exiles herself from her neighbors. The woman is surprised that Jesus knows the truth about her. She is even more surprised that, knowing the truth, he accepts her for who she is. For her, this is an encounter with the holy. She says this man must be a prophet. And so we come to another surprise. The woman asks Jesus to resolve the long-standing and divisive question of who is right, Jews or Samaritans. Which is the correct temple, Gerizim or Jerusalem? And the surprise comes when Jesus raises the issue to a new level. True worship will no longer be dependent on location, but will be a matter of spirit and truth. The conversation ends with one more surprise. The woman confesses her faith in the Messiah who is to come, and Jesus says that he is that Messiah. Jesus thus reveals his identity not to his disciples, not to his own people, not to their religious leaders, but to this person who comes to the well alone in the heat of the day because she is rejected by others. We do not even know her name, yet Jesus entrusts her with his deepest secret, the truth of who he is. The conversation ends because the disciples come back from their shopping trip. But the surprises do not end. The woman leaves her water jar there at the well. It's a valuable jar. It's heavy. But she wants to be unencumbered as she runs back into the city. There in Sychar, she tells people to come and see Jesus. She says, "He told me everything I did." Soon a crowd follows her out to the well. So large is this crowd that Jesus compares it to fields ready to be harvested. These people have accepted the woman's testimony, and they are coming to Jesus. It's a surprise that someone like this bears witness. After all, she has no prominence in her community. Her experience with Jesus is very brief. It's a surprise that people listen to her, yet they do, for there is something real and compelling and authentic about her witness. Here then we have yet another surprise. This unlikely prospect becomes a witness to Jesus, and she becomes an effective one. I've said many times, she becomes an evangelist. True, she may be a woman who has experienced the rough edges of life, but Jesus chooses her to reveal his true identity. Her understanding of Jesus is far from complete, yet she shares the goodness based on her personal experience, and she speaks the truth of what she knows. Her focus is on Jesus and not on herself. And not only does she point her own people to Jesus, but she shows us how we all can witness to him. If Jesus has spoken to us, accepted us, led us to see ourselves differently, then we too can bear witness to others, even as she did. We don't need to have our lives together in every way. We don't need to know all there is to know. What we can do is tell others our own experience and then leave the results to God. We can help people to look not at us, but at Jesus, who stands beside us. Then soon enough, they will forget about our witness and say, along with those people from Sychar, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." God surprises us in many ways, but none is more surprising than our opportunity to witness to Christ based on our own experience. During this season of Lent, let God surprise you. Be open to his surprises. Experience the love of Jesus Christ and be a witness to that love. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so grateful for the coming of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We are so grateful that we have the opportunity to gather in your name to worship him. And during this season of Lent, we have the opportunity to be reminded of all that he did to sacrifice for us. Lord, this morning we thank you for the story of the woman at the well, which reminds us that indeed, Jesus accepts all of us, even those who fall short of his glory. Lord, this morning we pray for those who are in need of your healing and your comfort. We rejoice that Flo is doing well and continues to heal miraculously. We also lift up Janine, and we thank you, Lord, that she continues to heal. Lord, we have a special prayer this morning for Joseph as he awaits further instruction from the doctors and further news. But we have faith, Lord. We trust. We trust with great intensity that he is going to be healed and that all is going to be well. And we just put our faith and our trust in you. And Lord, we do pray for his family, that you give them peace and comfort too as they await further news. And Lord, we lift up to you the Love family, Reverend Love, who has a new infection. We pray for your healing hand. We pray for Mrs. Love, who is now recovering from double knee replacement surgery. We pray that her healing will be quick. And Lord, we pray for Heather and the whole family as they go through these difficult times. Lord, we lift to you Michael Short, who has been diagnosed with cancer. Give him peace and comfort as he faces the treatment and all that awaits him. And Lord, we rejoice that Landon seems to be free of all of the ailments that came from his stroke at such a young age. We just pray that this healing will be complete and permanent, and that his life will now be a life that is normal, and that he will be able to look forward to the future with joy. Thank you, Lord, for loving us as you do. We thank you for this beautiful day and the beautiful surroundings in which we live. And we lift all of this to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.